flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But let's get into the news of the day. We just told you, going into the end of the hour there, that Myles Garrett is available, at least trying to make himself available, I guess. He is demanding a trade. The Browns have not yet publicly responded, but it would seem to me, if I'm Cleveland, like I would grant this request. He wants out. You can get a ton back for him. You need draft picks anyway because it's your best way forward with the money that you're locked into with a quarterback who's not going to be playing this year in Deshaun Watson. So you're already going to have to spend more money at that position to go find a starting veteran quarterback probably. So trading Myles Garrett for a Browns team that is further away from winning right now than it's been over the last couple of years probably makes some sense. But here is the 33rd team's trade that they put together for Washington and Cleveland in like a who says no exercise. And I want to see what Danny Ruye says.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got Myles Garrett to Washington, who they say are the best fit for him. Okay. What did the Commanders give the Browns? A first-round pick in 2025, which is the 29th overall pick, and a first-round pick in 2026. Could be another late pick if they make a deep run, probably closer to the middle of the first round next year, I would imagine. But two first-round picks in back-to-back years, this year and next year, would you do that for Myles Garrett?
First thing I would offer, ultimately I would, by the way, but the first thing I would offer is I'd say, hey, it's not a total consolation. It's not one for one, but you can take this year's 29th overall pick. I got a couple D tackles. I got a couple. You want one of those guys? You interested at all? One of them? Both of them? Are you interested in any of these other players here on the roster? There may not be a lot of interest, but maybe there's some. You know, I'll dangle that and see if you're interested in
First Daron Payne. And a third or something like
that. And that's my sweetener, right? I'll do something like that. And if that's intriguing to you. Now, it probably isn't because they need salary cap space in the worst possible way. So maybe they wouldn't want to take anybody on. But just thinking, I'll get you an alpha, I'll get you a leader, I'll get you somebody that can galvanize the locker room and also play pretty well, whether it's Allen, whether it's Payne, et cetera. So I'll see if that run that up the flagpole. My bet you is it's a no, we're not doing that. Then I would go to the picks and I'd say, that's just fine. That makes sense to me. Now, I know a lot of people will recoil, and I would bet that Peters and company wouldn't do that because of how paramount and tantamount to their philosophy building through the draft is. He's turned over, like as the magician, he's turned over how the trick's going to go. He's already told you. You think it's misdirection? Here's how I'm doing it. I'm going to do the trick this way. We're building through the draft. That's what we're doing, and that's what we're going to major in.
But every GM says that, and that's all cool until you get punched in the face. And what I mean by that is
I think he lives it, though. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, sure. But did he live it when they traded for Trent Williams, when he was one of the top decision makers in San Francisco?
Fair point.
I mean, when one of the great players in the league and a future Hall of Famer is available, that's kind of the break glass in case of emergency situation.
Might be. I mean, and I'm looking at the – there's a, I think I've seen from Cleveland maybe somebody with a source. Maybe it was an official statement, as you said. But we have no intention of trading Myles Garrett, which means the translation there is make us an absurd offer. We're not giving them away. Like, this is not a fire sale. This is not a, you know, a looting situation. You got to come in here and give a, and blow our socks off, and then maybe we can talk about it. So it's going to be an astronomical asking price, I think, for sure.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, the two firsts when I saw that, I get it, but man, that's steep. And here's why, because I got to pay him too. We said this, it's a two-year deal remaining at a really affordable rate, which is why he wants a new contract. So you're talking about probably like a five-year deal. I'm just making up numbers now, but at what, $30 or so million a year? You'd have to look at the top of the defensive end AAV market. That you would then pay him and guarantee him $75-80 million as a massively high-paid defensive player, and you're giving up the picks, which is why 2 ones feels like a bridge too far for me. I like your idea of will they take a defensive tackle. I think I would do a 1 and a 2. I know I would do a 1 and a 3. I don't think that's what it would cost. But, again, part of the deal has to be, Danny, I'm telling the Browns, I'm paying the freight here, guys. You're getting flexibility. Yep. You're getting out of this deal. I'm a first and a second is probably as far as I would go. I don't think I would do 2 ones. But think about how much of a game changer he would be here. I mean, it is exactly what we've talked about them needing. You could say this about any NFL team, obviously, because of how good Myles Garrett is. This is a special pass rusher. This is a sterling defensive player. But for Washington specifically, they are devoid of edge talent. We're all, you know, fighting over ourselves to see how much money we could pay Dante Fowler to hang around after his 10.5 sack season. They don't have anybody who can stop the run. They don't have anybody who can rush the quarterback. If Fowler walks, they need at least one, probably two edges. If you go get him, you now have your best defensive player, the best player on your football team, not named probably Jaden Daniels, if he can continue at this path. And I think it changes the eye line of next season. You're now really good defensively, and you're a Super Bowl contender, legitimately. Whereas right now we're trying to figure out, was that real? Can they get back to the NFC Championship game? If you could get a DPOY candidate, 16-sack-a-year guy potentially, with Dan Quinn dialing it up, with Joe Witt, a la what they were doing for Micah Parsons. I'm getting excited just thinking about it, sitting here on Radio Row.
I mean,
it changes everything.
Yeah, there was nobody else. When you played Cleveland, that was the guy at the top of the scouting report for that defense. That was the guy in the middle, and that was the guy probably at the end. Who was their second leading sacker, if that's even a turn of phrase? I guarantee you, in your car right now, listening on the Odyssey app nationwide, you have no idea. You have no clue that the guy that ended their roster on the end of the season was Dalvin Tomlinson with three. I think Za'Darius Smith moved after a handful of games, right? So he was their second leading tackler, the quarterback, with five. 22 tackles for a loss, top of the league in terms of quarterback hits. The impact this dude has, despite the fact that everybody knows that's who you have to limit, just lets you know the level here. It's not like pretty good because of the situation. It's not, hey, you know, this guy's a nice piece, good player in the right scheme. This is wherever you drop him in, he is a havoc-wreaking, nasty SOB who is here to hit you behind the line of scrimmage and blow up your offense. He is a star. Star.
How risky is trading two ones for a ninth-year veteran who's going to be 30 years old?
It's a thing, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yes. That would feel a little bit, and I hate saying this because this is such an overplayed thing, but you know where I'm going here.
Yeah.
Like, old Redskins, Dan Snyder, Redskins one kind of deal. It would feel a little bit like that to me, where you're going to get the superstar, the easy folder press conference guy that's a future Hall of Famer. In this case, I think it's actually smart because talent is not a bad thing. Acquiring talent is a good thing. We think of it here as scary and ominous and worrisome. But 30 and ninth year, if I'm doing the two first-round picks thing, I probably want like a second contract guy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I want the 26-year-old, 27-year-old in his prime. He's, I would imagine, got two or three excellent years left and four or five really good years left, which is okay. No harm, no foul,
sure.
There. But two firsts is just steep.
It is steep. And here's how I think of it. So in general, you and I have gotten to know each other so well over the years, so the 11 and counting. It depends on where you are. Like if I'm, for sake of argument, the equivalent, if I'm the Washington Wizards right now, nope, I'm not giving up two ones for anything. There's no player that I'm doing that for, right? But if I'm here, where I now am a couple of pieces away, a couple of marquee, blue chip, superstar talent pieces away from being in a game where I can beat the Eagles in the NFC title game, now I do it. My eye line changed. Normally, after the first year of a rebuild, I'd go, nah, let's be cautious. Let's build a little bit more judiciously. I mean, have some urgency to it, but giving away ones when I'm going to be picking 12, 13, 14 for a couple straight years, and I got a nice young quarterback, I can use some of my cap space, I can be smart about it. You still have to be smart, but guys like this do not become available very often. And Cleveland's already saying he's not available necessarily through a couple of sources. I think he is if he's prided away for the right offer, because he's already expressed that this is you know, we're not doing this anymore, you, me, and Cleveland. So to me, this is one of those, it's so exceptional, it shouldn't be happening. You're part of the cool kids club now. You've got all the momentum. You've got the allocation of draft picks and maybe some talent to sprinkle in as a bit of seasoning. You got a scheme and a design where he can thrive. You've got a Super Bowl opportunity. How crazy is that to say, by the way? I'm going aggressive right here. But this is one of those hard calls where you don't want to, because everyone's going to be interested. If you win the auction over a Dallas, over a handful of other teams or whoever, just thinking of the teams that are favored according to some of the odds, if you win the auction, win the bidding, it's going to be a pretty penny. And how far is too far?
Well, here's the logic, too, to your point, because this is significant. I think we have to discuss this angle. They are close.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not you feel like this past season was authentic is going to guide maybe how much urgency you think they should operate with this year. But the Josh Harris press conference today, when he's meeting with the media, he was asked a couple different ways, a couple different times, do you plan on being aggressive in free agency? Have you changed how expeditious, you know, how much you're trying to expedite this process in terms of spending and acquiring and adding because you're good, because you're ahead of schedule? When they were a four-win team a couple years ago, it makes no sense to trade first-round picks for Myles Garrett in a rebuild. Are they rebuilding? Are we sure? It seems like they found North pretty quickly. If you believe, as you listen to us right now today, that this team is NFC Championship caliber good, and if the season started tomorrow, that they could be right back in the hunt for a Super Bowl, then you should be advocating for and wanting this trade. Because this is what Chris Jones is to the Chiefs. That defensive player that in big games is going to make the big play to put you over the top. I have a little more trepidation about whether or not they're that team this coming year with a tougher schedule,
yeah.
Sophomore year of the quarterback. And that's where my reservations come from. But we talk to fans every single day. I mean, if Adam Peters legitimately thinks they're that good, if he thinks he's got a quarterback who's going to have them in the mix every year, then I would say this is a no-brainer. Because respectfully, at 29, the chances of you getting a player that has a career like Myles Garrett are next to nothing. And it's easy to miss at the end of the first round, by the way. A lot easier than it is when you're picking number two like they did last year. So I would have zero problem with them making this trade. I wouldn't do it because I'm just a little more conservative. But I'm also now groomed and developed here in D.C. with a team that's never been on the brink of anything meaningful.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm going somewhere with it. If you replayed this season with this roster, how many wins would they have, do you think? You know what I mean? Like, now, I'm not talking about next year with a different schedule and roster adjustments. This team this year, even the most cynical person would have them at what, 9 or 10 wins?
Yes, right? I would say. I don't think 10 is cynical. I think 10's reasonable.
Me
but,
too.
Because they won, they ended up winning 12, and one of those was a Hail Mary, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say 9, but I'll say 10 wins. Yeah,
right.
I'll say 10.
So and
then you lose to the Lions probably, or you could lose to the Bucks.
Totally. And the point is, you're now past the threshold where it's even if you're the most cynical, like, oh, it was all luck. What, it wasn't that far down the line for luck. There's something special that's already here. You're now you move from the first page of the binder, which is how to establish a culture, how to be a professional organization, how to have a training room, how to have a cafeteria, how to have linemen have their own meeting room. You've done all that stuff. You're now well beyond even the most optimistic expectation, given the fact that they maybe, quote unquote, got lucky in a win or two and ended up with 12 wins. Maybe they should have had 11. Maybe it should have been 10. I don't care. You're now far enough along where these are the kind of moves you make as a playoff team. At worst, they're a playoff team. At best, they're a Super Bowl contender. So that, to me, again, changes my eye line for what I'm willing to give up and be smart about.
So you would give up 2 1s for Myles Garrett?
I'd hate it, but I would do it.
Oh, boy, look at DR.
Yeah.
I like it.
They're Super Bowl
contender, like
man.
Go make a play. I'm going to say no to that, and I hate myself for it, but I'm just not there yet. I'm sorry. I cannot join you yet in every year is going to be Super Bowl contention mode, but I totally get it. And I'm not that far away, by the way. I'm saying I'll do 1 and 2, and I'd love to do a 1, a 3, and a player or two. But now I'm just making up trades that work better for me than the Browns.
Right. It'd be more convenient for me if you're able to move on and take one of the guys I'm not that excited about.
Could sadly, the Browns have to say yes to yes. this, too. That's how
you
these trades work.
You
want to
make Forbes? We can get them for you.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy 5 and get 5 free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.